After 40 years as an English teacher, Molly Pollack is not in the classroom this fall. She retired this year, and at her end-of-year party in early summer, Pollack got a book, thick with letters from former students. The book reads like a guide to great teaching. Here's what you did that was really special. This is why you were so good. For our 50 Great Teachers series, NPR's Gabriela Emanuel has this profile.
The spare bedroom in Molly Pollack's second-floor apartment in Manhattan holds four decades' worth of classroom memories.
Those are all my high school yearbooks. Those are my middle school yearbooks. There's more over here. There's dozens of them.
The shelves are stacked two books deep. And look in the closet.
These are my old plan books, which I don't know why I'm keeping them. I really need to throw them away.
But there's one book Pollack will never throw away. It lives proudly in the front living room. The cover is a striking orange. And inside, there are letters, lots of them. And not just a paragraph or two. Long, winding letters. Many tell of a life that was changed by one important teacher. Others capture a trying middle school moment.
Do you know how many letters are in here?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe close to 75, something like that.
Pollack's exactly right. This book was the idea of one of her former students. When Ora Baywitz-Meyer heard Pollack was retiring, she reached out to other students and invited them to write in. They did, eagerly.
This is an early picture.
This one?
Claire, Pollack's six-year-old granddaughter, likes the pictures best of all.
You have the same face. It's weird.
Bright eyes, thick hair. Pollack was just out of college when she started teaching in 1974.
I'm younger than your mommy is in that picture.
If you were younger, mommy wasn't born.
That's exactly right.
Claire might like the pictures, but for Pollack, it's the words that count.
Dear Molly,
I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that you changed my life.
You were so engaging in class.
You always had a way of shooting right to the heart of the matter and holding your students to the highest standards.
This gave me such strength and confidence.
I was a kid who wasn't getting this sort of encouragement elsewhere, and the effect of the positive attention was bracing and formative.
You are tough and loving, and that combination made you such a wonderful teacher.
I had no other teacher in middle school who also became a friend, a shrink, a stand-in parent, and eventually a peer.
For a while, you were one of the only adults I felt comfortable talking to about some pretty real and heavy stuff, and that meant everything to me.
Any discussion that involved you and me also involved laughter.
To throw my head back and really laugh.
Here's the miracle. I never heard you say you didn't have time for me.
You will be deeply missed in the field.
Thank you.
Love, Chris.
Seema.
Rebecca Rosenthal.
Nina Schulman.
Steve Hermanos.
Miles Finley.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's more than just beautiful. There's something else going on here. When Pollack and her husband first sat down to read the book, this is what they saw.
The comments from the first year and the 40th year are very similar.
It doesn't matter whether Pollack was at a public school, a parochial school, a private school, at Joan of Arc Junior High School, Mayanot Yeshiva for girls, or the elite Dalton School. She says it was all the same. So Pollack did what English teachers do when they have a book in their hands. She looked across the common themes and found a thesis statement.
And the thesis statement is not what you think it is.
It's not about a charismatic teacher. It's not about the symbolism in The Great Gatsby. Instead, the thesis statement is essentially this.
Molly treated us like adults when no one else did. She challenged us to rise to the occasion.
That's the letter from Jackson Kruhl. He had Miss Pollack for 10th, 11th, and 12th grade English at SAR High School in the Bronx. Pollack applied this thesis statement in three ways. First, honesty. At the very beginning of each school year, Pollack told the students she had only one rule.
I'll tell you the truth. You tell me the truth. The rest is commentary.
Students learn to be candid about everything, even the mundane. Pollack remembers one day a few years ago, a kid was late to class and an older kid was standing nearby. A typical high school scene. But what follows wasn't typical.
I said, "Oh, how come you're late?" And the older kid said, "Just tell her. Just tell her, whatever it is."
The honest answer? He was in the library and didn't feel like coming to class. Pollack says, only by talking about something real can you actually get somewhere. The second key ingredient, class has to be rigorous.
If you really respect someone, then you expect the best from them. It's not, you're the best. Oh, you'll be great, honey. Everything you do is marvelous.
No, it's about demanding their hardest work. Then the students respect the subject, which helps the teachers respect the students.
Their ideas matter.
Pollock wanted to make sure those ideas got heard. So about 20 years ago, she changed her whole classroom around. She got rid of the desks and hauled in a big oval conference table.
It's not everybody towards the teacher. You're engaging one another.
So you're honest, you're rigorous, but the letters show there's one other thing. Number three, kids have complex lives, and teachers have to care. Pollock learned this 40 years ago in her very first classroom.
I taught in a school for pregnant teenagers in Bedford-Stuyvesant. In those days, you had to leave school if you got pregnant.
These weren't just students. These were people learning their way in the world. Pollock took some students to the bookstore to buy their first book. For others, she stayed late to talk through hard relationships and difficult home lives. There's one thing Pollock wanted her students to know.
This is an adult in my world who cares about how I feel. Not only how I think, but how I feel.
Pollock says every teacher is capable of this. Every teacher can learn to inspire their students and earn a book like the one she has on her coffee table. Gabriella Emanuel, NPR News.